This is Exponent Philanthropy's Catalytic Podcast, Conversations with Leaders at Small Foundations. Meet some of the most creative, resourceful, and risk-taking foundation people in the country. Foundations have the ability, if they choose, to develop the imagination and vision to see new ideas and ways of solving problems. What are the conditions for creativity for grant-making foundations, especially small-staffed ones that operate in every community of the country? Exponent Philanthropy has discovered that leanly staffed foundations who are innovative and imaginative do three things really well. First, they make themselves aware of all the assets and resources at their disposal, not just grants, but also the ability to convene, to commission needed research, to fund and engage in advocacy, raise public awareness, act as matchmaker and broker, and nurture collaborations. Second, creative foundation leaders, whether donors, trustees, or staff, choose one issue to focus on in a laser-like way, an issue prioritized by the community. They commit to the issue not just for months, but for years. Third, funders who are creative make themselves thoroughly knowledgeable about their chosen issue. They intentionally get to know the players among nonprofits, but also in government, business, research, and other fields. They reach out and learn from people in their communities who are closest to the issue. And they develop insight and understanding of the ecosystem of their chosen issue, the history, the political and economic dynamics, the funding streams, gaps no one is paying attention to, challenges to progress, and potential solutions that have been ignored. When small foundations embrace these three practices, recognizing all the powers at their disposal, focusing tightly on one issue, and educating themselves thoroughly about the ecosystem, these funders position themselves to be able to see breakthrough ideas and solutions. And as funders, they can then apply small amounts of money and other resources to nurture that idea into reality. In this catalytic podcast, we hear from a lean funder who models creativity and creativity in action. Abigail Selden of the Selden Herring Smith Foundation shares how she came to see a powerful idea for innovation and what her foundation did to help partners lay the groundwork for implementation. The idea that Abigail recognized is to locate more Head Start childcare centers on community college campuses around the country. This one idea has the potential to enable thousands more parents with young children to launch or continue their education, complete their degrees, and ultimately access greater earning power and long-term security for their families. Abigail's story highlights what can emerge when small foundation leaders nurture and position themselves to be creative problem solvers, to see beyond the status quo and spark breakthrough innovation.
So I think a lot of folks are familiar now with the concept of administrative burden. You know, the idea that access to resources can be limited by the hoops that you have to jump through, regardless of whether or not you're entitled to access those resources. So anybody who's tried to argue with their health insurance company, if they're fortunate enough to have health insurance, you know, understands administrative burden viscerally. Similarly, folks trying to access SNAP or other kinds of public benefits often encounter administrative burden through, you know, over the top verification requirements or paperwork or faxing. You know, what we have been exploring at the foundation is transit burden, which is, I think, explains itself. You know, looking at this question of, do you need a car to access core civic resources in the United States? And so we began looking at community colleges in early 2021. Now, you know, the cost of owning a car is not included in the cost of attendance for attending community college. But what we found is actually that almost half of the primary campuses of community colleges in the United States do not have a transit stop within walking distance. So to attend those community colleges, in fact, you do have to own a car and a reliable car, or at a minimum, you have to have regular access to a reliable vehicle. You know, it is perhaps in that context unsurprising that for decades we've had a line in the higher education industry: our students are one flat tire away from dropping out. And so, you know, as I mused on that line in 2021, you know, I wondered if anybody had ever made a map to actually show where there were transit stops in relation to community colleges. And finding that no one had, we set up an internal research project at our foundation to do exactly that. The project was wildly successful, generating bipartisan legislation almost immediately, you know, engagement with policymakers, engagement with transit agencies and community colleges and media. And so we decided that we would build and expand the project to look at branch and satellite campuses of community colleges, but also other points of interest where transit burden could be a factor: Head Start preschools, public benefit accepting grocery stores, Medicare accepting medical centers. So as a grant maker, you know, I separately had a longstanding interest in supporting solutions for parenting students and had made some grants in that area in, I guess, the late 20-teens. So, you know, when I was working on our most recent mapping project in partnership with the National Head Start Association, I asked them one day, off the cuff, with only the slightest whisper of hope in my heart, you know, have you ever thought about broader collaborations with community colleges? But their reaction was immediate and enthusiastic. And so I thought, you know, gosh, I think we really have something here. You know, we had a longstanding relationship with the Association of Community College Trustees. They had been a successful grantee with us in the past. And so I reached out to them to see if they'd be interested in a grant to partner with NHSA and match their community college members with Head Start operators willing to relocate. Their response was equally enthusiastic and equally immediate. And so while this is a new relationship for both those industry associations, they were ready to jump in with both feet when I introduced them to each other in January 2023. Before I greenlit the project internally, I went and asked, you know, all of the parties I could think of who could have, or I thought might have, looked at this question. And the feedback I heard was that they understood the project to be too technical in nature. You know, as it happens, you know, my background is as a software startup CEO. And so I knew that the availability of the Google Maps API meant that you could absolutely do this at scale. And, you know, when you think about it, you know, most people in the United States use Google Maps fairly regularly to, you know, identify paths to from one point to another. So, you know, this is basically that question at scale: how do I get from A to B? So I introduced the industry associations to each other and we began to work out the details of the project. I reached out also to a national foundation, ECMC Foundation, where I had close relationships, and asked if they would be interested in funding the pilot phase. And so by March of 2023, the two industry associations had secured funding from us and from ECMC Foundation. They had a project plan and they were off to the races. And at that point, I shared the project with the Washington Post, and they decided that they would write an editorial to endorse the concept and the project that we were doing explicitly. And the editorial went viral. And we began hearing not only from community colleges and Head Starts across the country that were interested immediately in engaging with us and looking for a partner, but also from policymakers. You know, I've been privileged to do a lot of, you know, media-oriented work in my life, but I had never seen a response like this. We heard from 8 different federal agencies within 48 hours of the article dropping, asking if they could learn more and how they could be helpful. So what we have done is we have funded 2 best-in-class industry associations to match their members, screen match and support their members to partner with one another. But the members in question are community colleges and Head Starts. And so we have made a match between 2 matchmakers who will then carry on to match their own members with one another and support them from, if you'll forgive the analogy, premarital counseling and the setup all the way through to marriage and moving in together. And so Head Start is going to, the National Head Start Association will screen interested Head Start operators that are interested and willing to relocate their centers onto community college campuses, while the Association for Community College Trustees will screen among their members community colleges that are willing and able to offer rent-free space to the Head Start operators on a long-term basis. You know, the benefits for this project are significant. You know, right now, 1 in 10 community college students is a parent with a child under 6 living in poverty. And the median distance between a community college and the nearest Head Start is only 1.5 miles. You know, community colleges, many of them are in an active service area that's approved for Head Start to operate. And Head Starts can relocate, you know, when it's necessary for them to fulfill their mission without necessarily getting adjustments to their federal grants. I think what's probably equally powerful about this project is that it makes sense at an economic level for the Head Start operators. So Head Starts need to meet an 80-20 philanthropic match for their federal dollars each year. And it's a burden for them to try to achieve that. You know, some Head Start operators are trying to hit the 20% number by providing tax receipts for parents who come in and volunteer to move boxes for 30 minutes. So to receive an in-kind donation from a community college of rent on a long-term basis not only helps them with a compliance problem, but also frees up real dollars in their budget for other priorities like staff compensation.
Thanks to Abigail Selden for joining us. Our conversation with Abigail continues in part 2. Look for new catalytic podcasts each month. Meet more creative funders. Benji Rue does the audio engineering and mixing. Our website is by Kwok Lee. Our music is by O Future. The Catalytic Podcast is made possible by grants from 2 Exponent members, the 1772 Foundation and the Blackstone Ranch Institute. I'm your producer and host, Andy Carroll. Thanks for listening. Join us next time.